Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Buy something or leave. That's the message from the world's biggest coffee chain, Starbucks. They recently reversed the policy of allowing people to use their facilities even if they hadn't bought anything. Now, the change only applies to its North American outlets at the moment, but it is part of its back to Starbucks strategy, a hint perhaps that all is not well with the Seattle-based company. Adam McGuire from the RT Business Desk is here, and Adam's been taking a look at all of this for us. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
So what's happening with Starbucks?
Yeah, really, this decision to buy something or leave policy, it really has to be seen in the context of a wider attempt by the company to turn around its fortunes, because it's been seemingly one of those companies that would grow and grow forever, but that's just not been the case. It's been struggling a bit in recent years. Now, when I say struggling, you know, we're still talking about a company making billions of dollars every year. So, you know, no risk of it going bust anytime soon. But what has happened is it started to stagnate over the past years. The pace of growth has slowed. The pace of new store openings has declined as well. Last year, revenues were actually down at the company. And that led to a dip in the all-important share price. The price peaked in the mid-2021s. Within a year, it had fallen by more than 40%. Mm-hmm. Recovered a bit now, but it's still down 25% on that peak. And as I say, that's, you know, despite the fact that it's still making plenty of money. But the worry is that the drop in sales is kind of a canary in the coal mine, and that there's trouble brewing for the business. Because if customers go off a brand like this, or they start to see it as old fashioned or poor value for money, there are lots of alternatives out there willing to take their money. And very quickly, the sales can go into tailspin, and it's very hard to kind of get out of that trend once you get stuck in it. And that's what they're scrambling to try and avoid now. And I've seen them change their CEOs more often than they've changed their menus, really. They're now on their fourth CEO in less than 3 years.
All right. So really, always a worrying sign if you're somebody who's interested in Starbucks growth. Will you tell us how they came to be such a big company?
Yeah, so it goes all the way back to Seattle in the 1970s. The original version of Starbucks was actually more focused on selling coffee beans and equipment. It didn't actually sell coffee drinks or food. It wasn't until the 80s they hired a marketing and retail director called Harold Schultz, and things started to change then. He took a trip to Italy in 83 to buy coffee beans for the company, but he was exposed to the kind of espresso culture in Italy. You know, bear in mind that at the time the US coffee was popular, but it was drip and filter coffee. So, you know, you'd have a big pot in the restaurant or in the cafe. They'd ask you, do you want cream or sugar? And that was kind of pretty much it. That was the coffee culture. But Schultz was convinced that these espresso-based drinks would be popular in the US. The owner of Starbucks weren't so sure, especially because espresso machines were so expensive. So he ended up leaving, setting up his own company with some of their investment. And then 2 years later, they sold Starbucks to him because they wanted to focus on a different company called Peet's, which is still going but hasn't been as internationally successful. But then from two shops, basically, the one he owned, set up himself, and the one he bought from Starbucks, he really went into an aggressive of expansion mode. 3 years later, he had 46 Starbucks outlets. By the time the company floated in 92, there was around 155 Starbucks in the northwest of America. So a really rapid expansion.
But it was all about timing as well.
Yeah,
it was the right moment.
It really was, because, you know, it's coming at a time when Seattle really was kind of staking a claim as you know, a vibrant city in America. You know, around the same time, you had Microsoft becoming the computer powerhouse that we knew it to become. Jeff Bezos established Amazon in 94. So just a few years after Starbucks really took off. Culturally, you had the grunge scene, so the likes of Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Frasier even started airing in 93, and you know, coffee is a big part of Frasier. They're always in the cafe drinking fancy coffees, and I think all that's kind of factors into Starbucks' early success, because people were taking note of Seattle and all this interesting, exciting stuff coming out of there. And typically, people want to ape what the cool kids are doing. So they say, oh, well, they're drinking these, you know, European sounding drinks. We should do that too. So it really gave Starbucks credibility, and they were pushing an open door when they wanted to expand further. So, you know, through acquisitions and new openings, they had 677 stores by 95. They went international a year later. By 2000, they had 3,500 stores. By 2005, more than 10,000 stores. See, just this incredible trend all the way through to today. As of the end of last year, they had more than 40,200 stores worldwide. So, like, really massive and expansion and growth over the years.
So what has gone wrong for them, if that's what we are saying has happened?
Well, I suppose it's no one thing that's kind of led them to stagnate. As usual, there's always a kind of coming together of problems, and that makes it harder for them to fix it as well. Really, though, at the heart of it is the fact that they've lost their way in terms of what they offer to the customer, because one of Howard Schultz's core principles was to make Starbucks the third place for customers. So not the workplace, not the home, somewhere else that they could go and relax. And that's what why Starbucks is known for big, comfy chairs, ceramic mugs, you know, free Wi-Fi and sockets you could plug in your laptop, some kind of soft jazz playing in the background. So you could go and spend the whole day there and you know, be happy out. And of course, hopefully you'd keep buying coffees and sandwiches and cakes and everything else. But that's expensive because, you know, those big comfy chairs cost more than the little uncomfortable chairs. And they, you know, cost more to upkeep because if you let them go tatty, then the place looks a bit run down. And they need more space to fit in all these big comfy chairs as well. And once a company hits a bump in the road, as tends to happen, and the accountants start running the rule over the books, these are the things that get the chop. And sure enough, a couple of years ago, Starbucks started to redesign the stores and make them less hospitable and less comfortable for people. Rising price is also a big issue as well for consumers. You know, a large coffee in Starbucks now upwards of €4, all the way up to €6 maybe, depending on what you're getting. Starbucks will say that reflects the general trend. Coffee beans are more expensive, labour is more expensive, energy and so on. But it's still the case that if you're making your place less comfortable to stay in and spend time in, and it's not seen as good value, both of those together is going to make it very difficult for you to convince customers to spend more.
And the menu is so complicated now too, not just in Starbucks, but like there's a lot of coffee shops. You could be standing there at the table with the face on you like a gobdaw, not knowing what to order.
Yeah, you really want to know. You have to do your research before you get to the counter. You know, and this is a difficult one for Starbucks as well, because personalization was a big part of Schultz and the third place and making this place comfortable. You know, it was, you know, same as writing the names on the cups as well. It was to say, like, we're making this just for you, exactly how you
mad.
Like it.
It's a real bugbear. I can't.
It's coming back. They're bringing the Sharpie back, by the way. You know, but giving customers unlimited personalization creates a problem because it slows down the process of making a coffee. And it's only gotten worse as they've introduced more varieties of drink on the menu. So if you think of like an Americano, a cappuccino, a latte, a flat white, they're all kind of variants of the same workflow, the same process. But it's different if you're making a frappuccino, which is different to an iced coffee, which is different to a cold brew, which is different to a refresher, which is a fruit-based drink that they have. So suddenly the staff are spending lots of time trying to make drinks, which means they're slower, the queues get longer, people get frustrated. And it comes at a time as well when their online ordering has taken off as well. People who order on the app and go in and just grab their coffee and leave. So people want speed.
Yeah.
And Starbucks has to figure out, well, how do we make things faster and, you know, more convenient, but also we still want it to feel personal and feel like, you know, we're doing something special for you as a customer.
And of course, there's a lot of people doing what Starbucks do, and arguably they might be doing it a bit better.
Maybe, yeah. And lots, so much more competition now. You think 20 years ago when they came to Ireland, there were very few coffee chains here. Insomnia was in its early days. Costa launched in Ireland in 2005. Now we have Cafe Nero as well. And not just those big chains, which are everywhere, but also the craft coffee sector has exploded. Lots of little cafes doing high-end stuff. And the home coffee culture has changed too. You know, 20 years ago, when someone at home offered you a coffee, it was probably going to be a Maxwell House. Now it might be an espresso, or it might be from an espresso machine. They make it themselves, and it's as good or maybe even better than what you'd get in a cafe. So the standard now of kind of a basic coffee has gone up a lot more, much, much higher than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Okay, and they have a new CEO who's commuting from California to Seattle on a private jet. So hopefully he
can sort it out. When you're buying, you forget your reusable cup and you have to use the paper one, you can remember that he's commuting.
Remember what he's doing on a weekly basis. Thank you so much for that. That's Adam McGuire.